We declare that there's no one else like you, Lord. I pray that you would minister to us as we share in your word, in your scriptures, and what you're doing in our hearts and our lives, God. I thank you that there's someone here who needs a word from you, God. And I thank you that you are not a time waster, but that you're a God who is purposeful. You're a God who wants to make a difference in our lives, who is involved. And so I pray right now that by your Spirit, God, you would touch every single heart and mind in this place, that you would minister us through your word. I ask that you would stand in this my body, Lord, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. When I was a kid, something happened that was a unique experience in our household. I grew up. Good to see you, brother. Blessings. I grew up in a house. My brother was about a year older than I was. My older brother was a lot more active than I was. He was the active one. I was the calm one. Okay? And so, but there was a day, and he used to, and my daddy was one that disciplined us when we made mistakes. I don't know if you had a parent that disciplined you, but you know what that's like, right? If you mess up, you know you're in trouble. And so there was one time that I did something that I shouldn't have done, and my dad was going to give me a spanking because, and I deserved it. I can say that now as an adult. As a kid, I was like, no, I didn't deserve it at all. But as an adult, I can say I deserved that spanking because I had done something wrong. And something very interesting happened that day. My brother saw me afflicted and crying and in tears, and my older brother, who was used to getting the spankings because he was the active one, he was the one who did all kinds of crazy stuff all the time and would go behind my parents to do bad things. He was used to that, but he saw me in my affliction, and he said, he stood before my dad. My dad was telling me, I'm going to punish you, son. I'm going to discipline you. And I was just crying, oh my goodness. And my brother said, Dad, don't punish him. Punish me instead. Wow. Isn't that something? Praise God, I still have a good relationship with my older brother. And he reminds me of that every once in a while. Do you remember that one time? It's like, oh man, it's like it trumps everything. No matter what happens in our life, he can always go back and say, hey, I saved you from a spanking when we were kids, so I got you. But I love him. He's a wonderful older brother to me. But you know, if you had siblings, you know what that was like. I mean, how many of you would have been willing to take a spanking that your sibling deserved? How many of you would be willing to take it instead of them? And maybe there's other stories similar to that in the house. But he saw my affliction. He said, you know what? I want to take it for him. I'm going to take the punishment in his stead. There's been people throughout our history and throughout the history of the world who have said, I am willing to suffer so that good things can come out of that. Some of you know, a few years back, a man named Nelson Mandela passed away. And he was a key figure in the country of South Africa while South Africa was in civil war and something called the apartheid, where there was racial divisions, very intense racial divisions. He stood up and said, this is not right. We must be equal. And for doing that, he was thrown in jail and almost killed. And he was willing to be in jail for a long time. At any given moment, he could have said, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm gonna agree with what the powers that be say, and I'm going to calm down. But he chose to suffer for the good of the people. And eventually, if you know the story of South Africa, the apartheid regime was torn down, and the person that was elected president of South Africa was Nelson Mandela, who had been in prison for many years for the cause. Are you with me? He was willing to suffer so that the people could be free. And of course, in this nation, we have many people. You know of Martin Luther King Jr.'s persecution and war against inequality and racism in this country. And we have made great strides. You know, I like to say this when it comes to racial issues. And how many of you know that there's still racial issues in America? Did you know that? That there just are. But here's the cool thing. We're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Amen? There was just recently an African-American president of the United States. It would have been unimaginable that could have happened
not too long ago. And so we're not where we need to be, but because of Martin Luther King Jr. and the fight for civil rights and the fight, he was willing to say, I have a what? I have a dream. The dream that all men, women, children are created equal. I have that dream. And for that, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to do anything. My brother was willing to take a spanking for me. Mandela was willing to go to prison. Eventually, Martin Luther King Jr., as some of you know, died on behalf of his cause. I want to talk to you today about unshakable faith. Everyone say unshakable faith. We've been talking about faith for the last few weeks, and I wanted to talk about this story, and again, you saw some of the glimpses of it, because it really struck me this week about unshakable faith. There is a man in the Bible as well named Paul. Paul was a man who was preaching Jesus and telling people about the good news of Christ. Sometimes he would go places and people would be healed. He would go places and many would come to Jesus. And he was the one who wrote most of the New Testament. But for that, he was persecuted. And there's a scripture in the Bible where he says, Paul says, not only, he says, why is all this weeping? You are breaking my heart, he said to the people. I am ready, this is what Paul said, not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die, listen, for the sake of the Lord Jesus. I'm willing to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. If you guys don't mind bringing the lights up in the house, that would be awesome. I appreciate that. There's something about people who have unshakable faith that moves us. Unshakable faith can change the course of history, of nations, and even the world. Unshakable faith is the kind of faith that will bring transformation to your family, to your community, to our city and our world. Amen? That's the kind of faith that we're after. Can you imagine living with the kind of passion that the Mandelas and Martin Luther King Jr.'s and the Apostle Paul's of the world lived with? Is there anything in your life that you'd be willing to take the punishment for someone else, be incarcerated for it, or even give your life for it? Some never taste what it feels like to live a life like that. I am asking God to help me and to help us to live lives that matter, that make a difference in this world. And there's a Bible story here that we're going to look at today together that addresses that particular issue of unshakable faith. Hopefully you received a sheet that has the scriptures on it. If you don't, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that gets to you. There's a couple of people here that don't have it. If anybody can help me out with that, yep, just some notes. Thank you so much, Freddie. I appreciate that. That would be awesome. Let me just introduce the story very quickly as we dive into this scripture. I want you to know that we're doing this in two parts. We're talking about unshakable faith today and next week because we won't have time to finish the entire story today, but we will begin and get to wherever the Lord allows us to get to today. The kingdom of Israel has been taken over by a foreign power in this story that we're going to look at. The kingdom was named Babylon. I'm going to say Babylon. And the king was Nebuchadnezzar. I won't make you repeat that one. That's a fun one. Nebuchadnezzar. And here's what he would do. The Babylonians would go to Israel and conquer them, and would go to Egypt and conquer them, and would go to Syria and conquer them. And here's what King Nebuchadnezzar would say. I want you to take the best of all the guys that were in that nation, the smartest ones, the most influential, the people who seem to have it all together, I want you to take them and bring them over to Babylon so that we can use their skills and their talents. Are you with me? An evil king took over Israel, who were the people of God, and all the nations as well, but from Israel, said, I want to take a group of men, the best of the best, and I want to take them into Babylon. We're going to teach them. We're going to educate them on the ways of Babylon so that we can use their talent for us. Can I just say something very quickly? This is not in my notes. But can I just say, listen, each one of you has a talent that is God-given. Each one of you has skills and abilities that only God has given to you. And they're different. Everybody here is better than the person next to you at something. And let me just say this. Be mindful of what you use your gifts and your talents for. Be mindful where you apply your gifts and your talents. There's a story that I heard not too long ago of a young man who grew up in church and was very gifted musically. But at some point, he strayed and started going with the things of the world, and he strayed away from the church. And you've heard that story before. Some of you have lived that story, and you know what I'm talking about. But they started using their talents for the things of the world and to get money and fame, and became very famous, made a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that. But still inside of him, there was an emptiness, because he recognized that he was ultimately working for Babylon and not working for the things of God. Are you with me? Amen? And so the world is always going to want you to use your intellect, your abilities for different things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I've had many different jobs. I've sold stuff. I have been in the service industry. That is good and honorable. It is an honorable thing to work. But let me just tell you, there's nothing like being used and using your talents and your gifts for the things of God. And so when we talk about becoming a champion here at church, and we talk about serving one another, what we're simply saying is this: you have an opportunity, as a person that's here today, you have an opportunity to connect with God, connect with other people, and start using your gifts and talents to be a blessing to people next to you, to be a blessing to people around you. That's why we're coming tomorrow for this gathering, Clergy on Patrol, because we want to be a blessing to the community. God, I pray that none of us dies without using the gifts and the talents that you've given to us. Some of you have great personalities. Some of you have great intellect. Some of you are good with numbers. Some of you are good administrators. Some of you have a heart for people. You see somebody suffering and your heart just goes out to them naturally. It's something that God's put inside of you. Don't die without using the gifts and the talents that God's given you for the kingdom of God. Amen? It's okay to use them in Babylon for a season, because we all have to live in this world. But the Bible says that even though we live in this world, we are not of this world. Amen. Praise God. What are we using our talents and our gifts for? Four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were four of the guys that were taken from Israel to where? Where were they taken from Israel to?
Babylon.
Babylon. Just want to know that you're still with me. Praise God. Thank you. I may ask questions from time to time. I may put the mic in front of you just to see if you know the answer. So be careful, you guys. Emily, I'm coming to you, okay? They stood out. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood out among the others, and the king noticed their abilities and made them administrators. Specifically, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were administrators over the province of Babylon. So if you can imagine, they're slaves that came from Israel to Babylon, and they were so gifted and they were so anointed by God and so able that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, made those three guys, not Babylonians, but Israelites, made them administrators over the province of Babylon. Isn't that cool? And let me just say this. No matter what situation you're going through, even if you feel like you've been taken from a place of comfort or from home and you've been placed somewhere else, wherever you may be, God wants to bless you and use you wherever you are. Amen? He wants to bless you and use you no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, even in Babylon. When I was a kid growing up in Puerto Rico, I love Puerto Rico. I think it's Puerto Rican Festival Week. Anybody notice that? I don't know about you, but I just see the flag flying all over the place. Cars or, you know, the flag, it's great. I love it. And I thought, hey, I love my island. I love the food. I love my friends. I'm good. I love the warmth all the time. I loved it. I thought it was fine. And when we moved, when my family, my dad said, we're moving to Rochester. It gets cold. First day, September, I think it was September 1st or something like that. My first day, 1991. That's a long time ago, kids. Don't worry about it, okay? It's back in the, I know, there's before cell phones, I mean, it's crazy stuff, but it's okay. You can read some of the history books. But anyway, September 1st, 1991, I'm 13 years old. I get to Rochester, and I am, it's 60 degrees, 65 degrees. And you say, 65, Pastor, that's nice. I know, I grew up in a place where it's 80s all the time, super warm, super humid, the sun is 24/7 at all times. So I got here and it was 60 something degrees, and I was, my family we're all freezing. I had no intention, had no desire to move. I was sad for a long time because we had moved here and God had taken me out of the place of comfort. But you know what happened? God blessed us while we were here. And God started using us and growing us and doing things in our lives. I don't know why you are here today, but can I just tell you, unshakable faith believes that no matter where you are or no matter what the circumstances are, God has a plan and He is doing something in our lives. Amen? And we are here, I'm here as a testimony to that. The scripture tells the story of these men. So we pick up the story. They're working in Babylon as administrators, and the scripture says this: King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, is conquering all the other nations, but he has an idea. How many of you know that politicians here, the president here, prime ministers in other places, they have to deal with international affairs, but they also have to deal with domestic affairs. Did you know that? International affairs have to do with other countries. If we're dealing with another country, that's an international affair, but there's also domestic affairs, things that happen here locally. And so this king Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to set up a statue. And I looked up several different pictures of what it potentially could have been. We don't know that it exactly was this, but the idea was this, a 90 foot tall statue that the king Nebuchadnezzar built, and he put it in the province of Babylon. The most powerful man in the world at the moment. He conquered every major kingdom, including Israel and Jerusalem. And now he's back in Babylon, and this was his idea. So far, so good. And you say, Pastor Lewis, there's nothing wrong with that. He's an artist, maybe, who wanted to make a statue. That's cool. Nothing wrong with that, correct? And we'll see what happens here in a second. The scripture says, then, in verses 2 and 3, he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue. This is chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the king was there. He wanted to build a statue. And he called all of his officials. He called the mayors. He called the governors. He called all the senators and all the assembly persons, and he had them all gathered together around this statue. Then, the scripture says, a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. You're going to hear some music, and when you hear the music, I'm going to ask you to bow to the ground. So now something is changing. Now this king who had an idea, hey, he wants to build a statue, he's the king, he's kind of taking over the whole world, fine, let him do it, that's fine. But now things change. He's not only setting up the statue, but he's asking the people, when you hear this sound, I want you to bow down to the ground to worship the statue. Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. It's the expression of reverence. I'm going to honor something. That is to worship. And so King Nebuchadnezzar is asking all the people, I want you to worship this statue, which who had made it? He had made it. He had decided, I'm going to make the statue. I'm going to make it. I want everybody to worship it. Here's a thought. It is possible to worship something or someone that doesn't deserve to be worshipped. Did you know that? Yeah. It is possible in your life and mine to worship, to express adoration for, to try to lift up something in our lives that doesn't deserve to be worshipped. The king built a statue, potentially might have looked like him. We don't know. And he built a statue and he asked everybody to worship it. You ever been caught in an awkward situation? Here, all the people are gathered together. The king has asked them to come. They didn't know what he was going to ask, but they had gathered in, and they were asked to worship this statue. I remember when I was a teenager, I was in school, and I went to a 7-Eleven with my friends from time to time. And this particular day, some extra guys came over. And I was young. I forget exactly how old I was, but I was young teens. And I remember being there that day at 7-Eleven, and all of a sudden, we went to a corner, and these guys all pulled out, and we were really young, they pulled out cigarettes, and they pulled out beer. And all of us were like, wow. What's going to happen here? I remember there was a group of us. It must have been 10 of us. And they're all there. And what I thought was just, okay, we're just going to hang out, all of a sudden turned a little bit differently. And now they're passing around cigarettes and they're passing around beer. Now, that was a long time ago. I don't know what they pass around right now. But just transition it to whatever it is that they pass around now, okay? But back then, it was beer, it was alcohol, and smoking. It was cigarettes, right? And so they passed around. And I remember how awkward that felt. I was like, well, I thought I was coming for something, and all of a sudden, this is something else. And here's the problem. All the cool kids are around here, and I want to be a cool kid. I wish that I could be like the cool kids, right? I want to be cool, and so I don't know, what do I do? And I actually had people that were very close to me that I knew kind of were struggling. Shouldn't I? We were raised in a Christian home, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything in particular. I just knew better. I knew better than to start this, and certainly at this age, I knew there was something wrong with it. And so I didn't know what to do. And so when it came past me, and I don't say this for any other reason, I was actually really afraid. The reason why I said no that day to a little beer and alcohol and to smoking. The reason why I said I was afraid. I was, no, I'm okay. I'm good. I wish I could tell you, man, I love Jesus so much. I said, no, I'm not going to do that because that's destructive and it's wrong. And I took a stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. But no, that's not the case. It was more like, oh my, what is it? No, I don't want anything on mommy. You ever been caught in an awkward situation? Be careful. Be careful the awkward situations that you find yourself in with other people. Because what happens is if other people are around and they're worshiping the statue, then you think to yourself, well, I guess I've got to worship it too. Because they're doing it, maybe I should do it. And this is exactly what happened in this story. It's interesting that the scripture says people of all races, nationalities, and languages. Babylon had taken over all kinds of people, so there were all kinds of ethnicities, red, yellow, brown, white, whatever. They were all there. And they were all waiting for the sound of the music, and they would worship the statue. Nebuchadnezzar says, when you hear the music, when you hear the music, when you hear the what? When you hear the music, you're going to bow down. And do you have a reaction to particular music? I was just in a concert on Friday? Yeah, we went to a concert of a really cool kind of orchestra that does music for movies that you would know, movies like Batman, like the good Batman, not the bad Batman, right? Movies like Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman and Wonder Woman and all these cool superhero movies. I'm like, yeah, I want to go listen to the music. And something interesting happens when you listen to music that you, of a movie that you've seen. When you listen to the music, it kind of reminds you of that, doesn't it? And you almost kind of go back. Or if, I don't know about you, but if I listen to a song that I haven't heard in a long time, or I remember a song when I was a kid, I start listening to it. It brings me back to when I was a kid. Anybody experience that? Is that just right? So that's the power of music. Some of us have different reactions
to different kinds of music. Let me see if this works here.
I don't know if this brings back any kind of sweet memories, childhood memories, but it does for me. Carl's looking at me like, what? You know what this is? What is it? Yeah, it's Star Wars, right? I mean, it's pretty classic. I was trying to think of something. Carol, it's okay. We'll pray for you. You didn't know what Star Wars. That's okay. God bless you. God still loves you. You still have a place in God's family, all right? Not everybody needs to know Star Wars. But here's the thing. If you hear a sound of music that you've heard before, say, oh, that's cool because that's a story that I like. There's something that it conjures up inside of us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in one moment. Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone to worship the statue that he had made. So it says, the enemy is always desiring that someone else is worshipped other than the living God. The enemy is always desiring that someone else is worshipped other than the living God. There's an interesting story in the Bible. Everyone say, Jesus. This story is about Jesus. Jesus goes into the wilderness, And the Bible says that he is tempted by the devil. And I want you just to hear this, because we're talking about someone creating a statue and telling everybody, you will bow down to it. And here Jesus, our hero, our champion, the Son of God, our Savior, finds himself in an interesting situation. It's Matthew chapter 4, Mike, if you have that. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says this. Next, again, Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10. Next, the devil took him, Jesus, to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him, Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And here's what Satan says to him. I will give it all to you. And of course, I think he probably sounded more like, I will give it all to you. He said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Jesus answers and says, get out of here, Satan. Jesus, by the way, sounds a lot better than I do, but that's all I can do. I can just do my voice, right? Jesus says, get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say, you must, what? Worship the Lord your God, and what? Serve only him. You must worship the Lord your God, express reverence, adoration for him, the Lord your God, and serve only him. And so this is not something that is unique to the people in Babylon, or to the three guys we're talking about now, or to Jesus. It's true for you, and it's true for me. The enemy is always looking for us to worship, to lift up, and to serve, to live for anything other than the living God. That's the enemy's schemes. That's the enemy's way. Trying to get Jesus to worship and serve. And interesting that Jesus says, the scriptures say something. You're saying something to me, devil, but the word says something. Can I just encourage you to read the word as much as you can? Learn the words of God as much as you can. Why? Because when trouble comes, when you're in a particular awkward place, everyone else is doing something. If you know the word, if you've read his word, it will come alive inside of you, and you will say like Jesus, the scriptures say, who I worship is the Lord God, and I only serve him. Here the king of Babylon was trying to get everyone to worship a false image. Some of us would never consider worshiping Satan, right? Like if Satan showed up, we would never consider and say, I'm going to worship this guy. No, we would say, no, of course not. But oftentimes we see something that we want, and we don't stop until we get what we see that we want. Or we see someone that we want, and we don't stop until we're able to get that person. Or we desire something so badly. And that's all we can think about. This king set up a statue, something beautiful, something grand, something majestic. Be careful what catches your attention. Be careful what catches your attention. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Worship will always cost you something. That's the first fill in there. Worship will always cost you something. It will cost you something. If everybody bowed down, he's saying everyone's going to bow down to this statue, or else you're going to be thrown into the blazing fire furnace. But listen, worship will always cost something. You cannot be everyone's best friend and have everyone like you at all times. Did you know that? The scripture says this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Someone else says, no. I believe that all faiths are the same. I believe that there's many paths to God. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you see that there's a difference between that? It's either all paths lead to God, or either Jesus is telling the truth. Hear me. Either Jesus Christ is telling the truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life, or Jesus is lying. Are you with me? That's right. C.S. Lewis quote. Either Jesus was who he said he was, or he was out of his mind. He said he was God. Worship will always cost you something. Worshiping the true God will cost you something. It might cost you some friendships. It might cost you doing whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, anytime. It might cost you that. But you know what? worshiping false gods also has a cost. Worshiping false gods, I have this little theory that in our culture, how many people do you know that literally worship, will bow down to and say prayers to a statue? Do you know anybody who does that? To like a statue, okay? No, most people who are not. But how many of you know people who live and breathe for whatever a particular celebrity will do? You ever look at the grocery store magazines, right? Such and such person married this person. This person now is doing this. Get this workout, right? And you'll look like this person. There's some people that just exalt and are constantly living for celebrity and famous people, and that's all that they care about. And I have this idea, and I won't have time to develop it today, but I have this idea. When someone lives for, wow, the adulation or the glory of this celebrity, this person, it actually hurts this person because you're putting your faith in someone who cannot help you. Are you with me? You're living your life and thinking about a person that cannot help you. You might admire them. There's nothing wrong with that. You might say, this person's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you live your life for that person and you follow their music or their movies, and everything's about that person, that actually hurts you because you're living your life for something that cannot help you. But I also believe, and you know this, that there's a lot of celebrities who end up addicted to drugs, who end up committing suicide, who end up totally miserable. You say, why would someone who has money, who can have all the girls they want, if they're a guy, if they're a girl, all the guys they want, who can have all the adulation, all the fame, why would someone like that be depressed? We've heard recently, in the last few years, of actors taking their own life, famous actors, people who are beloved around the world, they're taking their own life. Because here's what I believe. Idol worship not only hurts the people worshiping that idol, but it also, if it's a person and a person tries to take in that adoration and that adulation and that honor, if I stand and I allow people to, oh, look at how great I am, that actually destroys that person too. Because nobody was created to be worshipped other than the living God. Are you with me? And so it hurts a person doing the worshiping false gods, and it hurts a person that is receiving that adulation. Worship will always cost you something. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bow to the ground and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The power of music is that next villain there. The power of music. Everyone followed suit and did what the king had said to do. Almost everyone. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to talk about the power of music for a second. There's something about music that opens you up for other things. Did you know that? In the Bible, there was a prophet named Elisha. Everyone say Elisha. And he wanted to, somebody came and asked him, can you say a word from God? Can you give us a word from the Lord? And here's what Elisha said. Elisha said, okay, go get a harpist. You got a harp, Debbie? Okay, yeah. Start playing the harp. Ding, 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 ding. And as they were playing the music, Elisha then started prophesying. Because there was something about music that he wanted to be part of his prophecy to open up things to speak the words of the Lord. There's another story in the Bible. Enemy nation is coming against Israel, and there's a king named Jehoshaphat for the nation of Israel. And they recognize that they're about to fight this enemy nation. And God speaks to them and says, I want you to send in front of everybody, not the rifles, not the arrows, no rifles back then, of course, not the horses, but I want you to send in the musicians. And they're going to play music and they're going to sing songs, first line of defense. And if you know anything, I mean, if you've seen Civil War movies, you know that it's kind of scary, right? You stand in front, the people that are in front are going to get the first shots. Are you with me? And the army... God says to the army, I want you to send in the musicians first. There's something about music that opens us up for other things. In this particular case, Nebuchadnezzar said, when you hear the harp, when you hear all these other instruments playing, you're going to feel, you're going to hear it, it's going to be emotional, you're going to be stirred by the music, and when you hear that music, you're going to bow down and worship the statue. There's something about music. I was in that concert on Friday, and I was loving it. As they're playing the different song, I was remembering, oh, that's from this movie or from that movie. There's nothing wrong with that. And some of the music was stirring. It was like, wow. They even sang, I was like, oh, what? This guy does that song. They had the guy that originally sang that, what I just said, he was there. Like this guy. So I went up to him, tried to hug him, and the security tossed me out, you know, but I'm just kidding. I didn't really do that. Right? Well, what does that remind you of? The Lion King, right? Because there's something about music. It opens up memories. It's a beautiful thing. It reminds us. It stirs emotions, causes us to move in certain directions. It can relax us or get us hyped. It's the power of music. And here's a question. I have nothing against music. I love music. I'm a musician. I love musicians. I love music of all kinds, from different cultures, singing about all kinds of different things. In Puerto Rico, one of the biggest, kind of most popular genres is romantic music. So as a kid, I would just listen to nice romantic music. Someday I'll get to love on a woman and sing songs like that. And so I get to sing songs now, right? Praise God. God has answered my prayer as a child. But that's what it would conjure up someday. And there's nothing wrong with that. But here's a couple of thoughts. The music that you consistently listen to, what does it stir in you? What does it cause you to think about or to do? The music that you consistently listen to, please hear me. I'll repeat this. I am not saying here and now, do not ever listen to anything that doesn't say Jesus is Lord. Now, that'd be a cool thing. But I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, what you listen to consistently, or say consistently, what does it stir inside of you? What does it cause you to do? What does it tell you to exalt? Now, I don't have to tell you 98PXY or WDCZE. It's cool. Every once in a while, I'll play some songs from there. But I have to be very careful. What is it that they're singing about? What are they exalting? Because sometimes they're singing about something, and for some people, they might say, man, this song makes me want to dance. Nothing wrong with that. This song makes me want to dance at a club. Okay? This song makes me want to dance at a club with a girl. Are you with me? This song makes me want to be close to someone that I shouldn't be. I remember that there's a lovely, lovely Whitney Houston song, and I have nothing bad to say about the woman. God bless her voice. But I remember there was a choir director I had at school, and he's trying to tell us about the power of music. He said, you know, like this song that just came out. And again, I'm an old guy, okay? For young people, I'm older. Folks that are a little bit older than me, don't throw anything at me. I'm not saying I've reached your stature yet. But I am saying it's been a long time. So Whitney Houston used to sing this song that went like this. So I'm saving all my love for you. Anybody know that song? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Well, the song is actually saying, you, the person that I am saving all my love for, he's married. And he's trying to give me excuses or trying to say all these things about his life. But Whitney Houston as a singer was saying, but no matter what your marriage relationship is, I am sending all my love for you. In other words, I want to be in a relationship with you even though you're married to someone else. Are you with me? And listen, I'm not saying don't ever, okay, I can't, hey, I just sang that song in church, right? It's okay. We're not condemned. But here's the deal. Be mindful of what the music you listen to stirs in you. And be mindful of what it brings to mind. I have a friend, a good friend, who told me that their spiritual walk changed, listen to this, when they started listening to different music. I said, what? You heard a sermon? No. You went to a camp meeting? No. You read an incredible book? No. I just changed what I was listening to, and God started ministering to me through music that exalted him. And stuff started changing inside of me because it started creating a different kind of reaction. Are you with me? Amen? The power of music. Be mindful of your music consumption. And let God lead you in wisdom as you traverse through that. There's all kinds of music that I love. Pastor, would you go to a secular concert? Yes, I just did. I went to a concert. It was a music concert. It wasn't not a lot of not actual words, but I just did because it's beautiful music. I appreciate good art, but I have to be careful with my heart. There are some concerts that I would go to. There are some concerts that I would absolutely not go to. Why? Because I want to be a good boy? No, because I'm trying to live my life with unshakable faith in a living God who can get me out of trouble when I'm in trouble, and I need to have a connection with Him that is deep and strong, and I can't have that connection if what's constantly playing in my mind is causing me to bow down and worship false idols. Music can open you up to God, but it can also open you up to idol worship. And in this case, that's exactly what was happening. When you hear the instruments, you're going to worship the statue. Some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews, Daniel 3:8 says. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the music." I'm going to skip all the instruments. When they hear the music, you've asked them to bow down and worship. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. Can I just tell you something? And I just got about just a few more minutes, so bear with me here. We're almost done. My kids remember everything I've ever said at the worst moments for me. Are you with me? So it's funny because Sarah will do this. It'll be evening. It'll be nighttime. And she'll be thinking about this. She said, "Okay." She'll say something. "Okay, and if I go to bed, I go to sleep, can I get a chocolate chippy tomorrow? And if in my haste, and if in my rush, I say, yeah, just go to bed. Chocolate chippy tomorrow's fine." It's like, "Oh, she's not going to remember that." Daddy in the morning, "Hey, honey, Daddy, chocolate chippy." "What? Are you kidding me? You said that last night you remember the chocolate chip cookie." The king had people like that. They said, "Hey, king, you said that you're going to throw somebody into a fiery furnace if they don't bow down and worship." And here's, I love this, Daniel 3, verse 12. "But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not what?
Worship.
They refuse to serve and they refuse to worship the God, the gold statue you have set up." And here's just a thought that I had. Thank God for the Jewish people. And let me just say very quickly, thank God for the Jewish people. Here's why I say that. The Babylonians had all the nations there because the king had conquered all of the nations. So there are people from all over the world. And listen, all of them were bowing down to a false idol except these Jewish men. Are you with me? Throughout history, God has used the Jewish people to preserve the covenant that God made with them. And the scriptures say that God blessed Abraham, and through him and through his seed and through the nation of Israel, he would bless the rest of the world. And so I just wanted to point something out. We live in a world that is very quick to say Palestinians versus the Jews versus Israel versus the Middle East. What's going on? And all I'm going to say is this. The scriptures consistently are shown to be men and women that are heroes of the faith and they're of Jewish descent. And the other thing that I will say, and this is obvious, do you know that Jesus in his humanity, do you know what nationality he was?
Jewish.
He was Jewish. Does that mean that anything and everything that Jewish people do is great and awesome?
No.
No, they're human beings just like everyone else. But thank God for the Jewish people because there's something special that God has with them. And here, out of all of the nations, the only ones who had the guts to stand up for what they believed in were these Jewish men. And I love how the people are tattletaling to the king. "King, king, there are these guys." And the way that they describe them is like, "But there are some Jews." And they think they're saying a negative thing. And then what I'm declaring here, what we're saying is, the scripture consistently says, thank God for the Jewish people. Amen? Keepers of the covenant of God, and thank God for them. The Bible calls us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. To serve is to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up?" Is it true? What a great question. Is it true? When I was in Puerto Rico, there was a big criminal case where some government officials took a group of people who disagreed with the government. They were just people that were against what the government was doing at the time. But they took this group of people to a particular place, and the way that the story goes is they murdered them there because they didn't want to have to deal with them. And so there was a huge case in Puerto Rico, and some of you might know about El Cerro Maravilla, something that I just grew up watching. It was like O.J., the O.J. Simpson trial here. It was the Cerro Maravilla was in Puerto Rico when I was a kid. And one of the questions that they would ask all the time would be, in Spanish, they would say, "Dígame si es cierto o no es cierto," and then they would ask the question about the court case. So they were in a court of law, there was the judge and the jury, and they were constantly asked, "Dígame si es cierto o no es cierto." Tell me if this is true, if it's true or not. It's like if I would ask Julia, "Is it true or not true that you did such and such?" And they would say, "True or not true?" Or, you know, "Is it true, G-Lo, that you did this or you didn't do this?" Like, okay, no. But is it true or not? It's very clear. Just tell me, is it true or is it not true about you? Here, King Nebuchadnezzar is looking at these men and he's saying, "Is it true about you that you refuse to do two things?" What are the two things that these guys refuse to do? Can you tell me? Serve and what?
Worship.
And worship a false god. They refuse to serve and worship the gold statue that he has set up. They refuse to express reverence to the statue. They refuse to perform duties or services for this statue. What is true about you? Is it true or no? What is it about you that is true? Faith not only moves us forward, but faith also refuses to do some things. Is it true that you've given your life to God? Is it true that you no longer are allied with this world, but with Jesus the Christ? Is it true that you will, to your hurt, obey and worship and serve the living God, even if it costs you your life? Is it true? The world is crying out for truth. Everyone say truth. Is it true that you're willing to... If people are looking for the genuine article, there's a CD that my son loves from a Christian band that I used to listen to when I was in college. But there's a song, before the song begins, there's a little, somebody giving a blurb and they're saying this. They're saying, the greatest crisis, the greatest reason in the world why people are not coming to Christ or not coming to church is because an unbelieving world finds it unbelievable that Christians talk a good game about Jesus, but deny him by the way they live, right? And the guy is saying, what the world finds unbelievable is that Christians will profess Jesus with their mouth, but will deny him by the way they live. That is what an unbelieving world, he says, finds unbelievable. And my prayer for us, and my prayer for this church, is that we will do and we live in such unshakable faith that we, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will stand for the living God, not false idols, not things that are going to lead us in different directions that are not pleasing to God, that we as a church, listen, I pray that as a church, what we listen to consistently will draw us closer to God. Doesn't mean that you don't listen to other things. It just means that what you're consistently listening to. There's some people that are consistently listening to music that there's cursing and foul language on it. And I'm not going to say anything to you about that. Here's the only thing I'm going to say is this. If you slip out with cursing and bad language and you'll say some stuff, I'm always careful to say, okay, whatever's coming out, somehow it's got to come in. Do you know that? So whatever comes out of me is because it was inside of me. Are you with me? Whatever comes out was already in. And so be careful what you're putting in. I've heard little kids singing songs that have all kinds of curse words on it. And my prayers are, oh God, this kid is, what they're inputting is stuff that is destructive. And again, the question is, be careful that what you're listening to, what is it causing inside of you? What is it stirring inside of you? We're going to continue next week with this story. It's a great story. And I pray that you come back for the final part, because I'm going to talk about how you develop this unshakable faith. How do you do it? How can you become a person that has unshakable faith? We're going to talk about that next week. Let's pray and bow our heads now. Father, I thank you for being with us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for your presence in this place. I pray that you would be with each and every one of us as we go from this place, that we will be men and women of unshakable faith, God, that you will help us to draw closer to you. I pray for those of us who are struggling with what we listen to on a consistent basis, those of us who are struggling with seeing shiny, beautiful things and being are drawn to them like these people were to the statue. Help us to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to stand in unshakable faith for the truth. We want to be true to you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everyone said amen.